Our first scripture lesson this morning comes to us from Paul's first letter to the church in Thessalonica, the fifth chapter. Let us listen for God's word. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Our second lesson today comes from the Gospel of Luke, the 17th chapter. Let us listen for God's word. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourself to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet, and he thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." The word of God for the people of God. So as I wrote about in the weekly email this week, I learned the power of gratitude firsthand this past week. I was getting ready for bed one night last week before a particularly stressful day. Chip and I had a really big meeting the next day about a difficult situation that had consumed a lot of our time and emotional energy over the past few months. Thankfully, it had nothing to do with church. I was anxious and worried, my stomach tied in knots, replaying scenarios in my mind that didn't lead anywhere positive. Looking for something to distract me from the fretful feedback loop in my head, I pulled out a book that I had bought a few months ago. The book is called Grateful, The Transformative Power of Giving Thanks by Diana Butler Bass. I had the book with me because I was headed to St. Louis on Monday morning to attend a stewardship conference where Diana Butler Bass was one of the main speakers. As I flipped past the title page and copyright information toward the table of contents, I came upon a mostly blank page that had this quote on it by Maya Angelou. "Let gratitude be the pillow upon which you kneel to say your nightly prayer. And let faith be the bridge you build to overcome evil and welcome good." Whoa, I thought. I read it again. "Let gratitude be the pillow upon which you kneel to say your nightly prayer. And let faith be the bridge you build to overcome evil and welcome good." In that stressful moment, that anxious time, this quote changed everything for me. It changed my focus and perspective. I started thinking about what I was grateful for, and I was actually able to kind of breathe again. I began to feel a sense of peace creep in over me. I slept much better that night than I had expected to, and although the following day was still not an easy day, I was able to stay somewhat calm and collected as we dealt with a very difficult and uncomfortable situation. A few days later at the conference, I learned a whole lot more about gratitude and how it can have a positive effect on our mental, emotional, and even physical well-being. For example, did you know that you cannot be fearful and grateful at the same time? As we have been learning in our study of the book Unafraid on Tuesday and Thursday mornings, fear and anxiety originate in certain parts of the brain that are very deep down, like the amygdala and the brainstem. But in studying the human brain, scientists have discovered that during periods of active appreciation, when your brain is engaged in identifying and feeling gratitude, threatening messages from the amygdala and anxious instincts from the brainstem are cut off from the rest of the brain. Gratitude actually blocks fear and anxiety. Researchers have discovered all sorts of other benefits of being grateful, too. Grateful people are more stress resilient, they tend to have stronger social ties, and a stronger sense of self-worth. Other studies show that gratitude promotes regular heart rhythms, rebalances hormones, reduces stress, increases relaxation, and promotes resistance to common illnesses. In addition to heart health, gratitude has also been linked to emotional well-being. Lower levels of anxiety and depression, decreased panic attacks and phobias, reduced risk of alcoholism and substance abuse, and longevity. Whether the benefits are physical, emotional, mental, or even spiritual, the research suggests that grateful people tend to live longer, happier lives than society as a whole. I don't know about you, but sign me up. We live in an anxious, fearful world that constantly bombards us with more bad news than good. Whether it's the vitriolic variety show playing out in Washington, D.C., or the partisan politics of fear and fake news across our country, or the gloom and doom messages from economists and climate scientists, or the daily struggles of average people fighting poverty and injustice, mental illness and substance abuse, it's hard to feel hopeful or optimistic, let alone grateful, these days. Yet this is exactly what the Apostle Paul calls us to do in his letter to the Thessalonians. It's a pithy little passage, so short and sweet you could even memorize it. It might be your challenge for this week. See if you can memorize this little passage. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. How good are we at giving thanks in all circumstances? It's easy to be grateful when life is going well. But what about when life is not going well? When the diagnosis is not good? When the bank account is empty? When we're overwhelmed with worry and fear, or barely hanging on by a thread? Surely Paul doesn't mean for us to give thanks then, does he? Well, lest you think Paul was an overly optimistic simpleton, it's helpful to remember that Paul's life wasn't exactly a walk in the park either. In fact, once he started following Jesus and sharing the good news, Paul was arrested, beaten, thrown in jail, put on trial, not just once, but many times. He spent his days traveling from place to place, never really knowing where his next meal would come from or where he would lay his head at night. And yet, if you read his letters, they are full of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving to God for God's unfathomable grace and salvation in Jesus Christ, and for the Spirit's guiding, strengthening presence in his own life. Thanksgiving for each and every believer and church he met and worked with, for their faith and service to the gospel. Thanksgiving that Paul's ultimate hope did not rest in the things of this world, but in the transforming, liberating power of the good news that he had found in Jesus Christ. Regardless of what is going on in Paul's life, he is grounded in gratitude, which is why he encourages the Thessalonians and us to ground ourselves in gratitude also. Paul knew that the Thessalonian church was struggling with many of the challenges faced by all of those early Christian communities. Isolation and persecution as an unwelcome minority, the destabilizing influence of false teachers and cultural pressures, doubt and uncertainty, and even problems getting along with each other. Paul knew that we may be struggling too, with similar challenges or different ones, but Paul also knew that these did not need to keep us from being grateful. Notice, Paul does not say, give thanks for all circumstances. He says, give thanks in all circumstances. The preposition matters. Paul does not expect us to be grateful for whatever is wrong in our lives, the struggles and the hardships, but Paul invites us to look around in the midst of them and to be grateful for what we have and can do in spite of them. Simple example. It was no surprise that after a stressful week, not enough sleep, and traveling on an airplane to St. Louis and back, I came down with the worst cold I've had in a long time. I could have crawled into bed, pulled the covers over my head, and wallowed in my discomfort and misery. Or I could be grateful that my kids can take care of themselves for the most part, our church staff is excellent, and I have a comfortable bed in which to rest and recover. As the African-American preacher Henry Mitchell once said, if you have breath to complain, then you have breath to praise God. You choose. Ultimately, Paul is trying to get our focus off of ourselves and on to the God who created us, who offers us his death-defying love and saving grace in Jesus Christ, and whose Spirit sustains us each and every day through all of the ups and downs of life. That's also the point of the gospel lesson from Luke. 10 lepers, social outcasts, utterly destitute and desperate, approach Jesus on his travels and beg for mercy. And Jesus, that mighty champion of the left out and left behind, takes one look at them and tells them to go show themselves to the priest, the only person in town who can restore them to life in community. Full of hope and joy, the 10 do just as Jesus says, rushing off to find the priest, and along the way finding themselves healed. Only one of the lepers, when he realizes that he has been healed, turns back to find Jesus and thanks him. Only one of the lepers sees beyond the immediacy of the healing to the bigger picture of God's grace and blessing. This one leper realized that he was the recipient of an amazing gift, a gift he had done nothing to earn or deserve. And so he looked beyond himself to the giver of the gift and expressed his gratitude. In that act of thanksgiving, the leper finds far more than physical healing. When Jesus tells him, "Your faith has made you well," Jesus uses the Greek word for salvation. "Your faith has saved you," Jesus says. In seeing beyond himself, the leper understood himself to be a recipient of God's gift of healing and wholeness, and seeing himself in that bigger picture of relationship with God is ultimately what saves him. That's what Paul wants us to realize also, that we are all part of the bigger picture of God's abundant life and blessing for this world. As the psalmist says, the earth and everything in it belongs to God. All that we are and all that we have comes from God. As Paul writes to the Corinthians, we are all recipients of the indescribable gift of God's grace, especially as we see it poured out in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. When we realize this, that it's not about us, but about God and God's gracious love to and for us, then we too find salvation, living lives of thanksgiving in right relationship with our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. We are grounded in gratitude. Today, we are kicking off both our annual stewardship campaign and a 3-year capital campaign to raise $750,000 to upgrade our facilities and to create space for our ministry and mission to continue to grow and meet the needs of our changing community and world. Let me be very clear. This campaign is not about fear and anxiety. This campaign is not about not having enough money or people or anything else. And it's definitely not about bad news. This campaign is all about good news. The good news of God's saving love poured out in our lives and in our world through Jesus Christ. The good news that God loves each and every one of us. And God's deepest desire is that we would know and live our lives in that love. The good news that it's not all about us, that we are part of something much bigger, the transforming power of God's love in the world. And God has invited us to join in the mission of sharing that love here and now, whenever and wherever we go. The good news that God has given us exactly who and what we need, all of the people and resources, all of the gifts and skills to carry out God's mission in our community and world. So today we begin by grounding ourselves in gratitude. And I want to tell you what I am grateful for today. I am grateful to be part of this vibrant community of faith that is committed to God's radical hospitality through compelling worship, lifelong faith formation, intentional fellowship, inspirational stewardship, and transformational mission. I'm grateful for the saints of this church, the generations of faithful followers of Christ who started this church back in 1730, almost 300 years ago, and who supported and sustained it over the centuries, leaving us with a rich heritage of faith and a future filled with hope. I'm grateful that because of the faithfulness of those past generations and their careful stewardship of resources, we are here today in this sanctuary, worshiping and serving God free of debt and free to follow God's call into the future. I'm grateful for each and every one of you who has shared your faith and life with me and so many others in this community, helping us all to see God more clearly and to know God's love and care together. I'm grateful for the vision of ministry and mission that God has given us and for the commitment of so many to be faithful to that vision. And I'm grateful for the incredible resources present in this congregation, not just the financial resources, but the musical gifts and abilities, the kind hearts and willing hands, the gardening gloves and the household tools, the food and clothes and hours donated to the different ministries and missions we share. I'm grateful for all the planners and the doers and everyone in between. We could not do any of this without all of you. I have so very much to be grateful for as one of your pastors. We have so very much to be grateful for as a community of faith. Grounded in gratitude, let us move forward in faith together. Amen.